At De La Valle, we provide integrated solutions, including robotic milking equipment that is going to help the overall animal welfare and overall quality of life for the dairy producers on a global scale.
Welcome, everyone, to the Robot Industry Podcast. Welcome to our listeners in Guelph, Tempe, Vacaville, California, and Farmington, New York. I'm Jim Beretta, and I'm your host. We're glad that you're here, and thank you for subscribing. My guest today is VMS Solution Manager for De La Valle North America Market. His name's Jason French, and we're going to talk about robotics and cows. So welcome to the bovine edition of the Robot Industry Podcast. Jason French is from Fergus, Ontario, and is the Robotic Solution Manager for De La Valle North America. Dairy farming has been his life, with growing up on a family dairy farm, attending the University of Guelph in agriculture, and spending his work career involved in cattle genetics and how the milking equipment side of the business. Jason's involvement with De La Valle focuses on the marketing and strategic side of dairy farmers, incorporating milking robotics and cow health sensors into their operations. Jason, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, certainly glad to be here. Thanks, Jim.
Hey, so for a lot of people like myself, I'd like to just ask you a few general questions about cow, like 411. I'd like to ask you some words and maybe have you give our audience a bit of an explanation.
Sure.
So I have some words. What's a heifer?
Yep. So a heifer, you'd almost say it's a bit like a teenager. So you have a calf, which is a newborn, newborn baby cow, which some people say, and then a heifer is that she is now growing up and, getting actually ready to become pregnant. And then once she has her first calf, then she becomes a cow, and that's when she starts to produce milk.
And how often do cows have offspring?
The planned is every year. So 365 days is the perfect timing. So then she's in the best production life each year, giving a great amount of milk for the farm.
And when do cows get milked in a traditional, like, non-automated farm?
Yeah, so we have, our stanchion barns, and we have parlors and rotaries, and generally they're twice a day. So 5 in the morning, 5 in the afternoon. They like to keep that 12-hour interval. But we also have, about 10 to 15% of farms doing 3 times a day milking, just to help utilize, get a little bit more production from the cow.
And so in your lingo, what's a parlor?
Yeah, so a parlor is the cows, then they walk into an elevated milking system. So then the farmer is they're in the pit. So now the cow's udder is at their easier reach. They're at eye level, so they can attach the milking unit to them. And this has just been a lot more efficiency, because the cows are now coming up to the milking parlor instead of the farmer in some older traditional setups where they actually have to walk to each individual cow to milk her. So this has gained a lot of efficiencies over time.
And what are some of the importance, and we talked about this in our pre-call, what is some of the importance of having happy, healthy cows, and how does automation help this?
Yeah, and the big buzzword in the industry is cow comfort. How comfortable can we make this cow over her overall life? And it starts from, as a baby, a calf, to that heifer stage, and now to a cow. So, cow comfort involves where she lays, where she eats, the air, the ventilation, the light, but then as well as how she is milked. And when you have people milking, you have to train each individual person on, what the overall methods are going to be to get that cow milked, from preparing her, from, washing the udder, to attaching the milking unit and taking it off. And what robotics does is it brings consistency. And, you'll get that in any kind of industry. If you and I, Jim, were to go milk a cow, we might do it a little different. And so the robot now gives that consistency on how it's prepared, when it attaches, when it detaches, and then, final, preparation of that udder again before, she heads off out to lay down or eat. So consistency in the robotic aspect of things is what people are looking for.
So is milk produced by robots better milk?
No, I wouldn't say it's better milk. All milk that is harvested on any dairy farm around the world that comes to your table, is safe milk. There's no antibiotics because it gets tested thoroughly throughout the whole process to get the processing. But what it does in automated aspect is that we gain more data. So we're actually able to know a little bit more about the actual milk, before it heads, heads to processing as well. And that's, I think, some things that we'll talk about further on, but there's really no difference from the quality of milk coming from a robot, a parlor, or a rotary.
So let's talk about robots and automation in milk production. So you mentioned to me that a lot of your robots are actually operated by hydraulics. Why is that?
The smoothness, the quietness of it, because in the robot, when that cow is walking in, you can just imagine, as well, we want to have a good experience for that cow. So hydraulic, the arm that picks up the cups to attach to her for the milking process and in the cleaning process of the teats before she gets milked, we want it to be quiet and smooth, just like a human person, that human interaction. And this has certainly given us that ability to do that with our hydraulic arm. Plus, it's easier to maintain as well over that life of the robot.
So is it a separate tool? Like we talk about end of arm tools all the time in the robotics industry. So is a milk tool separate from a teat cleaning tool?
Yeah, in our robot it is. So we have a separate line that comes and goes onto the teat, and there's some warm water and a solution to kind of clean that teat to and air, and the air forces that water around like a vortex actually to clean, and then that any of that water then goes to a separate vessel to a separate drain, and then it picks up the cups individually to the four teats. And then that milk is then goes into a larger vessel, so it's very safe environment for the milk to then get to the final destination.
And of course, these are all clean the same method all the time. So you've got that consistency theme going again.
Correct.
So tell me a little bit about the kind of the process. So I'm a cow, and how do you track the cows?
So each cow has a RFID tag that is generally used because they're going to need that for identification anyways in the barn. That's just a ruling that's out there that you're supposed to track your cows and who they are. And this gives us the advantage of using that RFID technology that's already in the ear to identify that cow. So when she walks into the robot, the reader reads it, and so they're going to give that individual experience to that cow. The size of the stall that she's in can be adjusted to the size of the cow. We know what kind of pulsation rate needs to be done for that cow to individually milk her out, and some other features that give that real individual aspect of the experience. So that's what the RFID tag does. And then be able to track, all the information, all the data that we're going to get from her as well.
And you also mentioned to me that there's very sophisticated cameras that you're using.
Yeah, correct. So, the big thing is knowing where the teats are on the cow, because that's what we need to attach the cups to harvest that milk. So we've just graduated from a laser system to now a time of flight 3D camera. And the great advantage to this technology is now we don't have to actually train the robot where the teats are on the cow. The time of flight camera does that on its own. And this is certainly shown a lot more efficiency because that robot arm, it can go right to the teat. And the overall time saving, you think if you have a couple hundred cows and you don't have to teach the robot where the teats are on that cow, that saved some really time as well, which is great on the labor aspect of things.
So you mentioned the word data a couple of times, and of course, this is something that is a game changer for some farmers out there. Can you tell the audience how data is changing the game?
Certainly, if you don't measure it, you can't manage it. And that's a big thing in our industry, from what's happening out in the fields, right into the barn as well. So, before in old times, you used to be able to milk that cow. You're very happy that, we got her milked out. Not sure how much she gave, not sure how really well she got milked out. But now we can sense with our overall sensors and our meters is that we know how much milk she's giving from each individual quarter, how her milk flow, how quickly it kind of came out of her as well. And then we have other data, as well as far as the quality, we can do some quality of milk aspects of things. And that's just on the milking side. The other aspect of it is now we can take a sample of the milk from that milking and do further tests with it. So we can test for what's called on our online cell count or the somatic cell count of the milk. So that's really the actual overall quality of the milk. We can also detect some great cow health aspects, which is we can see if she's pregnant. We can see if she's going to be coming into estrus to then breed. Because reproduction is a large thing on the farm. Like I said, these farmers want these cows to calve every year. And so to get the right timing to get her bred is very important. And then more and more factors over time on how we can analyze how healthy she is based on, that sample of milk. So that data has been, extremely important to have, the overall, like I said, cow comfort of the cow, her overall welfare, but the overall efficiencies of the farm, which is pretty important in these multi-million dollar operations.
So the cow as well can decide it wants to be milked more than twice a day. So it can come in as much as it wants. Is that correct?
Yeah, so we have what's called milking permissions on the robot. And so she can walk into that robot and get milked. And then because when they're in the robot, we give them a special treat, which is a high energy pellet that they wouldn't normally get because their main diet is out at the feed bunk, which is generally a hay or corn silage based diet. But they like that little bit extra energy. We call it the candy. So she's going to come in there to kind of get that candy plus a little relief, of course, from the amount of milk that she's got in her udder. However, if she circles back and comes into that robot 1 hour later, it doesn't make sense for us to milk her again. She's not going to have enough milk to do that process. So we say, hey, open the gate. Thanks for coming. But, we're not going to milk you. We're not going to give you any treats. And so based on her stage of lactation, the amount of milk she's given, then that'll determine how many times she's going to get milked in a day. Some cows will get milked up to 5 times a day. And some cows down to 2 times a day based on their overall production. So we really manage the overall efficiency of the robot, but what's really good for the cow as well.
And of course, you're collecting all this data and reporting it back to the farmers or the operators of the farm.
Correct. So we have our Delpro software system, so they can build different reports based on their goals, their criterias on how they want to manage their farm. And that becomes very valuable. We have it in a handheld system, so they're out in the barn. But that system as well, they could be in the house, on vacation, wherever, and they can have all the access. They know exactly what cow's coming into the robot, how she's performing, and then the data that she's given.
And so how overall do you look at the efficacy of milk production with robots? Like one of the big challenges that we're having in North America is we're having a hard time attracting skilled talent into manufacturing jobs. And I assume the same goes true with farm.
Oh, for sure. As far as overall labor, that's a big reason why farmers are getting into robots. Back in late 1990s, 2000, when robots were introduced, it was really for the family farm because, they didn't want to hire any additional labor. And so, robots, gave them that. Now farms are certainly increasing. And once again, it's back to the overall labor aspect of things as well. So if they do have people on the farm, they certainly want them skilled enough to be able to operate the robots, so there's no real kind of breakdowns. And, the cows are going to get milked on a regular basis. As far as like efficiency of robots, farmers are looking at the amount of kilos, pounds that robot is harvesting. Those sort of goals are usually what people are trying to meet.
So where are these systems being used?
Well, it's around the world for sure. Here in North America, Canada actually has been a leading country in the world for robotics. Our first robots came in 2000, and you know, we've got some of those early robots, they're just kind of finishing their career. You know, they're at that 18, 19 years old. It's amazing. We had one farm in Quebec that harvested over 1 million kilos of milk, which is unbelievable. And now they're on to the new brand. But they are certainly in the U.S. as well, in that area. So in Canada, we're coast to coast. We're actually just starting up a new farm in Newfoundland this week. And then we have farms across the U.S., and we're starting them up in large dairy states like Texas, California. So they're certainly recognized right across North America and globally as well.
And what size are these? Like, how many robots would I know there's no such thing as an average, but how many robots would an average farm have?
Our average sales are 3 robots. And so just think that usually about 60 to 70 cows per robot is how much that robot can handle as far as, you know, properly getting the amount of time that cow comes into the robot during a day. So, you know, that 200 cow farm, they'll generally have three robots. But, you know, we've got, you know, certainly single robot farms, and we're growing in the large herd aspect of things. We're at a farm in South Dakota now that's gearing up to get to their 20th robot. They've got 14 going now. We have another farm that's gearing up to go to 54 robots. So it certainly takes a lot of different kind of management, you know, and how that overall those facilities are set up as well. But we certainly see in the large herd aspect of thing, you know, they don't want to be hiring additional labor, or it's hard to get labor as well. So they're looking at the robotic side to save on the labor on the farm.
And I assume too that you've got remote diagnostics. You can dial into somebody's robot to see what's going on if they are having a problem?
Certainly. So our overall dealership network that we have managing different areas across North America, their technicians, yes, they are able to remotely go into that farm and you know, see if there is any issues. But if there is one, they can certainly diagnostic testing, you know, be able to help there. So about 90% of the time, if there is an issue, the farmer calls to say that there is one, they can solve it right over the farm by coaching the farmer, you know, to change some settings or something else to kind of get it back in business. And that's a really key aspect for their overall comfort level of the operator to know that they've got somebody helping them out in that way.
And what is the return on investment for an average automation system for a farm?
It really depends on the overall management of the farm and how much milk they're going to be getting. Because certainly for every, you know, liter, pound of milk that they're going to harvest out of their robot, that's saleable, you know, so they're going to obviously get paid for it. So, you know, for that farm that is able to get a lot of milk harvested out of that robot, their ROI is certainly shorter. The guy that doesn't get as much milk, it's going to be a little longer. But in the banking industry, they're looking at about a 7-year you know, ROI when it comes to, you know, lending money on robots.
And do you have any customer stories that you can tell our audience about?
Well, hey, we've got a lot of, you know, great, great dairy farmers across North America. But, you know, for me, you know, it's the ones that it's really kind of changed their lifestyle. Because, you know, certainly dairy farming is a lot of hard work. Just because I said physically they're up at 5 a.m. or earlier, kind of get those cows milked, and again at night and some later evenings to, and that sort of thing. But I was at a farm the other day, and it's a family, like a husband and wife, a couple of young kids. And I said to him, you know, what was your life before? And he, up early, rush, 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 hopefully nothing goes wrong so I can help get the kids off to school. I said, so what's your routine now? And this was back in the summertime. He says, well, I get up about an hour later, I jump in the pool to kind of get refreshed, and then I walk to the barn, put on some coffee, see what the robots are doing, what cows I need to maybe look after, and then I start my day with my kids. And it's just that much more relaxing. Takes a little bit of some burden off. And I think that's kind of the fun aspect to see. You know, there's some lifestyle changes with these farmers, but, you know, they go through a lot to look after these cows. If we can kind of help them in that aspect of things to be really efficient and that they enjoy their overall career, then, you know, that's what we really like to see.
And one thing I think I forgot to mention or ask is you could now, like you're a cow, you can go in at 2 a.m. and get milk because you're self-regulating.
For sure. You know, we track for, you know, overall movement of the cows. And what I was told at one time is robot cows are like teenagers. They have a lot of activity at night, but they don't do a whole lot first thing in the morning. And that's very true. We see cows moving a lot at midnight, 2 a.m. But when you walk in the barn at 6, they're all laying down with their head to their side asleep. So yeah, it's pretty interesting to see cow behavior in these robotic facilities because, you know, they have, you know, the ability to move around the barn, lay down, eat, get milked at their own routine.
So we're taping this in April, 2021, and we're in the tail end of hopefully the pandemic. How do you sell robots in the middle of a pandemic?
Yeah, great question. And you know, when that day came, we were like, okay, we need to change our focus a little bit. And farmers that want to get into robotics love to go to other farms to see what their overall experiences are. So, you know, at De La Val, we've done a lot of work with virtual tours. We have a 360 virtual tour of barns, just like if you're on a real estate site and you wanted to look around into a house. It's the same thing. We have that for barns. And, you know, so we've, you know, done a lot better job in that overall communication. And if there is some visits to the farm, of course, it's in a safe way as well to get the information to them. And then also when it comes to the overall installation as well. So, yep, our dealership network have had some challenges, but they've done a really good job on a safe manner for both them and the farm as well.
Jason, have I forgotten anything that you might want to mention on the podcast?
Well, I think we've kind of done a lot, you know, on the overall cow, you know, welfare aspect of things and how robotics can come to the farm. But, you know, certainly that aspect of the more robots that are out there in the dairy industry, that means that we need more people, more technicians to look after them. And so, you know, that's something if anybody's listening to this podcast that is, you know, looking for maybe a different avenue in the robotic side of things, dairy farming is extremely interesting because you're not only working, you know, with a, you know, robotic system, but, you know, you've got a cow that's going to be using it who, you know, is certainly a special animal to us to make sure that she's being treated right. So there's a lot of great local opportunity on the technical side. There's some, you know, North American aspect as well, because we have our own De La Val technicians, plus we have our own technicians at our head office in Sweden. That's where De La Val is based out of for work as well. So tremendous opportunity if you want to get into the technical side of robots and do it in the in a food industry, which is kind of cool too.
Well, thank you very much for coming onto the podcast. How can people get a hold of you?
Probably the best way for personally myself is an email, jason.french@delaval.com, or you can certainly visit our website, delaval.com as well, for more information about what we're doing in robotics at De La Val.
Our sponsor for this episode is Earhart Automation Systems. Earhart builds and commissions turnkey automation solutions for their clients worldwide. With over 80 years of precision manufacturing, they understand the complex world of robotics, automated manufacturing, and project management, delivering world-class custom automation on time and on budget. Contact one of their sales engineers to see what Earhart can build for you. And they're at info@earhartautomation.com, and Earhart is Earhart. I'd like to thank and acknowledge our partner, A3, the Association for Advancing Automation. The A3 is the umbrella association for the RIA, AIA, MCMA, and A3 Mexico. And these associations combined represent over 1,100 automation manufacturers, component suppliers, systems integrators, end users, research groups, and consulting firms throughout the world that are driving automation forward. I'd also like to thank our partner, Painted Robot. Painted Robot builds and integrates digital solutions. They're a web development firm that offers SEO and digital social marketing and can set up and connect CRM and other ERP tools to unify marketing, sales, and operations. And you can find them at paintedrobot.com. And if you'd like to get in touch with us at the Robot Industry Podcast, you can find me, Jim Beretta, on LinkedIn. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Be safe out there. Today's podcast was produced by Customer Traction Industrial Marketing, and I would like to thank my nephew, Chris Gray, for the music, Chris Colvin for audio production, my partner, Janet, and our partners, A3, Painted Robot, and our sponsor, Earhart Automation Systems.